And welcome to the program on this Monday. It's 106 right now, and nice and warm and humid outside. It's another hot one that we're expecting across the area for today and over the next several days. The heat and humidity is going to be sticking around. With generally heat and humidity, it comes a chance of thunderstorms, and that's all in the forecast. We'll be running it down here during the course of our show this afternoon. If you want to be a part of the conversation today, ask some questions, harass Dean, feel free to give us a call, 701-293-9000. That's the same number as last week, the Red Wings Shoe phone line. You can always reach us via email as well, weatherorag@flagfamily.com. Or the comment boxes on Facebook and YouTube Live. All right, yeah.
All right, so I was went skydiving last week.
Yeah, and you ate bugs.
Which was absolutely amazing. Can't wait to do it again.
And you kind of poisoned yourself from how much smoke you inhaled.
No, but what I was amazed at,
What was it?
Is you could see these microscopic particles, they must have just had spray day. Our chemtrail spray day from, maybe it was the day before, but when you're up at that altitude, when you're up about 12,000, and we were about 10,000, close to 11, and you're jumping through where they just chemtrail sprayed the day before, when you jump through that, the weirdest feeling came over you. It was absolute. Now, I tried not to breathe in a whole lot because I didn't want to get too poisoned, but my mic off. I did notice it rained the next day.
And you know, I find it funny that Dean said the weirdest thing, and I thought to myself, the only weird thing in the air that day was Dean.
Well done.
Thank you.
Good
glad
stab,
to be
Dean.
Here.
Good I like the stab.
Did you like that?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you need to get a bigger knife, though.
Yeah, right.
We're getting paper cuts over here. We need a gusher.
Yes.
And not the fruit snacks, if you know what I mean.
Oh, man. What a weekend. Did you guys have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was a good weekend, indeed. Sunday and Saturday. They happened.
Air show was in town. That was
I'm pretty bummed
amazing
that
to see.
I missed it.
That was amazing.
They're self-averted, but no, I did it to myself. But I'm sad that I didn't go.
Okay.
Yes, I had to clarify
self-inflicted.
There. Make sure I clarify.
There you go.
Yeah, self-inflicted. That's the word I was looking for. Thanks, Dean. You see, you're useful for things.
Some days.
It's going to be a good day.
This is going to be a good show today. I'm telling you.
I don't know if do you remember your weekend?
We won't even go there.
And here's the deal. That was after we spent what was not the hottest day ever at Hefty Seeds Field Day, the Egg PhD Field Day down in Baltic, South Dakota.
Justin could have made it down there. That was a very tolerable heat down there. It really was.
It was in the morning. Heated up in the afternoon.
I listened.
The anticipation was, but the all the smoke from Canada and so much humidity in the air brought just a ton of clouds down. That did not stop the crowd from being there, walking through the booths, listening to the speakers, which Dean and I were some of them, being at the panel discussions. I emceed a couple. And then, of course, we saw lots of folks in the ride and drive area. I had the opportunity to go over to the west end of the event and get on top of one of the seed carts from Horsch. And just take a look around what was going on over there. A lot of tractors in the field, some autonomy, and then I believe it was Tyrannus had one of their spray drones in the air. And when that thing takes off, it's just huge. It's probably got a 7-foot wingspan on it. So it's impressive to watch happen. Very happy to see that.
Some drones or something
else. Good things down there.
Speaking of drones, I saw that they're making little personal EV flying bikes. Now, I don't know. I just
so it's like
that
ET,
kind of cool.
Yeah, right.
Well,
yeah.
It's like, I don't know how to describe it outside of just a flying bike.
So it looks like the movie ET when he's flying across the front of the moon.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you could go there. But
be
what
careful.
If we just start
wear your
strapping,
bike helmet.
What if we just start strapping sprayers onto all these little personal toys and using those instead?
Well, as long as the product that you're spraying has an aerial label or a drone label, you'd be legal to do it at that point. but you got to have the right label for it.
I think that this is it right here. So it's got two big, so it's just a regular bike, and then it's got two big propellers on the front and back, and it's got one on either side of you. And it's all powered by a gigantic battery in the A-frame of the bicycle.
I mean, it sounds like this is kind of a cool thing.
It's got bars over the fan so you don't cut your arm off or anything. Just don't fly too high.
Where's the place for your beverage?
What do you think the top...
Is there a beverage holder on that thing?
I'm sure there is.
Likely so.
The top speed on this thing would be...
Hey, but you got to be careful because just like any other thing we talk about, and especially if it comes to farm safety, wear your bike helmet and or just like you said, keep your arm out of places like propellers, augers, fans, because we got a lot of stuff going on here as we approach harvest and we just want to make sure PTO shafts. If it moves or spins, just don't even touch it.
How about that?
Don't be looking at it thinking, how does this work while it's in full movement? But that also means when you're getting out of the combine or the tractor, don't leave them running.
Yeah. Disengage the PTO.
Mm-hmm.
Greatest.
Justin's learned a lot.
I've learned.
He knows so that what
much,
that means.
Hasn't he?
Hey, we're going to learn some more stuff today. Maybe.
Nice.
Maybe. Should I get one more in there for assurance?
Sure.
We're talking a little bit about the farm bill throughout the course of this hour, and I know it can be a... interesting little conversation. So if you want to join in on it and pitch in anything that you would like or not like to see in the farm bill, give us a call, 701-293-9000. So we'll touch on that a little bit, as well as some decision examples for ag and the future of ag trends report also came out. So we'll touch on those couple of topics. We'll get another rundown on the forecast. In fact, I don't think we've hit the forecast yet.
We haven't.
I think you were talking about skydiving through particulates in the air.
Right.
Those didn't hurt your eye when you fell through them, did they?
No, I had goggles on.
Okay, so you did have some form of protection.
Correct.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
But after I got down, I noticed I lost a lot more of my hair, so I'm thinking
so
that
it
might
blew
have been,
out?
Yeah.
I've heard that that happens from time to time. Did you weigh yourself before and after to see if the amount of screaming burnt enough calories off to lose weight?
I did
weight?
Not. No,
you
but that's
have.
A good idea.
Did you scream the whole way down was it kind of like scream at first and then just kind of, you know, full body flex the rest of the way?
You'll have to watch the video. There was some happy expletives that were exerted.
Nice. Well, because of the excitement and the...
It was, yeah.
Well, it's completely understandable then.
If you really want a weight loss program, if you donate blood, you'll burn 600 calories and lose a pound. So, Dean, if you jump out of a plane the day before and then the next day you go over and donate blood, look at you, double winner.
See, I heard you can lose 8 pounds for every gallon you give.
Yeah, but you can't give a gallon at a time.
He'll try.
Jeez, you guys. You guys are off again today. Wow.
Your math is on, though.
It's going to be fine.
We're very proud of you. We're very proud of you.
The weather.
Let's get to the forecast. We've got a lot of hazy sunshine out there. Temperatures low to mid-80s currently. We'll warm it up into the upper 80s this afternoon. And winds generally on the lighter side. For tonight, though, there will be storms developing out to our west. And those will be riding eastward towards the valley. Should arrive shortly after midnight, it looks like, in the overnight hours. Some of those could be on the strong side. Justin will be keeping an eye on those. With lows tonight into the upper 60s. And rinse and repeat for tomorrow. More hazy sunshine, but it will be warmer and more humid. Highs pretty close to 90. Probably some spots even topping out in the lower 90s. South winds a little breezier tomorrow, about 10 to 20. And once again, tomorrow night, another round of storms. And some of those could be on the strong side. And we'll see more scattered storms on Wednesday, more cloud cover, probably a little cooler in the mid-80s, and then heating it back up into the upper 80s to near 90 as we head towards the end of the weekend, into the weekend. So hot weather for Wee Fest. There's still a lot of summer activities going on, and it's going to feel nice. If you like the summer heat, the humidity, with periodic chances for storms, this is your week. And my lawn could use a little drink of water.
Sometimes
I think there's a lot of folks that would say that.
And I don't
even
know where it's going. I just hope I find it along the way.
See, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of your lawn, reminds me of our Here We Grow project because it's been looking that lush in our cornfield. And we haven't had a significant rainfall out there in a couple weeks. We have lots of subsoil moisture. I think that's good for our corn. We do want it to tap down further. So if we did have any high wind ratios or anything that come on through, we want our corn to stay standing and stabilized all through the summer months. Right now, corn is likely getting close to tassel. I hope to be out and look at the field probably Wednesday this week. And we'll start to see more ear development. We're going to have an agronomist on with Dairyland Seed, who is our sponsor for our as a seed partner for our Here We Grow project. We're going to talk about that on Friday, where we're at in stage and development, how much more water we need to push this corn through to the end, and just overall health of our crop. That's going to be one thing. Without all the rain, well, we haven't had as much need for our tile pump to run on that field, but Ellingson Drainage is absolutely thinking about that today, meaning that if you even have a field that seems sort of dry, but you were wet earlier this season, now's a great time to call those folks at Ellingson and have a discussion with them about where tile needs to go, how it would work best, because they want to help you remove that excess surface moisture off those fields so your fields do not lose yield due to being excessively wet. So something to consider while we're waiting for harvest is time to talk about drain tile. Well, it might be. Indeed. Check them out.
That drain tile really did us a number in the spring, kind of saved our crop, I'd say.
In a lot of cases, it did. It took that extra moisture off. And so, again, I want to reiterate, drain tile does not add to the overall flooding picture that people are concerned about in the Red River Valley. What it does do, though, is it moves surface moisture out of those fields and so that we have the crop getting some of that excess moisture away so it doesn't impede its root system, compromise disease issues, etc. Just gives us a chance for the crop to be better and healthier throughout the season.
Indeed. Well, let's get caught up with the American Ag Network. When we come back, we'll hit on a few more of these ag topics, maybe start the Farm Bill conversation. But I want to pick your guys' brain on something when we come back, because there's something big going on right now, and I don't know if it really has much of a hype to it as it used to in the past. It's big, Dean. I'll elaborate when we come back.
All right.
Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thank you for joining us. And maybe you had a relaxing weekend and had the opportunity to enjoy North Dakota Sweet Crude, a liqueur made right here in the state of North Dakota. You have two versions, the original Sweet Crude and the Sweet Crude Orange. Taste them for yourself. Also, if you're curious, what would I mix those with? How should I use them? Check out their website, crudespirits.com. They'll give you great ideas. And if you have any good ideas, especially something you've tasted and tried with North Dakota Sweet Crude, give us a call on the Red Wing Shoe Line, 701-293-9000. Yeah, like Justin said.
We need some new recipes.
That number didn't change. Yeah, Justin said that number didn't change from last week.
Nope.
That's a good thing.
It didn't change, and it'll probably be the same tomorrow. It's also the
Maybe
same for
week.
The Jay Thomas show. He's on
and
2 to
Bonnie
5.
And friends.
Bonnie, she's on from 5 to 8:30.
Coffee Club.
From 8:30 to 11.
Don't forget the coffee club.
There you go. That covers us.
Did we get all our shows? Most of them,
yes.
At least.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did.
Take that, sports
so
guy.
So speaking of, did we get everything? If you recall, we have a grain gauge from IntelliFarms in Castleton to give away with our Here We Grow project this year. And we want to make sure that goes to a farmer who is actively farming today. And we want to help you to win that by guessing what our yield's going to be on our Here We Grow corn crop. So you can send us messages on our Facebook page for Weather and Ag in Focus. But also, I'm going to encourage folks to come and see us at Big Iron. That'll be coming up middle of September. Stop by, make sure to give us your bushels guess, and then we'll get your name. So in case you win, we'll give you the grain gauge for your grain bins. Something new to use on the farm, we'd be happy to have you a part of our contest.
Why don't we do that today, too? Why don't we take a few people who trickle in throughout the course of our show? If you want to call in, again, you know the number. Give us a call and give us what you think we're going to average for a yield on our 20 acres of corn. And if you win, you'll win that rain gauge. And if you're a farmer, we'll throw in the grain gauge as well. 701-293-9000 is the number to call. Now, before we switch into that, and you can start calling now, we'll get you all queued up, and we switch to other ag topics. Have you guys been paying any attention to the Olympics going on?
Let's
outside
just say
of
some
the controversy
of these
crap that they're trying to yeah. go on about. Besides that, have you paid any attention yeah. to the Olympics
Zero.
Or any of the sports that's going on?
None.
I haven't had Neither a chance yet because we had a family event over the weekend, but I would like to start watching a little bit more, mostly because there's a dairy farmer from Vermont in the track and field events, and I'd really like to follow along with how she does. I don't care about all the politics and whatnot that goes on besides that, but I'd like to follow how she's doing in the Olympics.
All right, and besides the track with her, is there any sport at all that is like, I want to watch this? Like, this is what I'm tuning into the Olympics for, so I can watch this sport and see how the U.S. does in it.
I like to watch the swimming only because I don't swim. I pretty much am a super good at sinking, but not a lot good at swimming.
See,
that's why I wouldn't mind watching them.
I like the water polo. It's probably... Well, besides beach volleyball, it's the only other sport that I'll probably watch during the Olympics.
Why beach Fair. Volleyball?
Have you ever seen two people play volleyball like that before? It's nope. Insane.
It is.
It's very,
they are
very,
so good.
Very impressive.
I'm looking
yes,
forward. I looked it up on the schedule. I couldn't find it, but I'm looking forward to the ice hockey. Looking forward to that.
Good. Keep looking.
I think that's the last day of the Olympics.
What sport did you say you're looking for, Dean?
Ice hockey? No?
Yeah, it's on next Tuesday night. The tournament starts.
Oh, it is? Okay. Yeah. Good deal. Yeah. I think Canada's
Dean, when,
favored.
Dean, when you fell from the sky, did you hit your head?
No,
hard?
He fell through particulates again? And they went through his head.
Weren't you listening earlier, Bridget?
Do you not remember
again,
now?
The only thing in the...
Oh,
the
God,
only thing
it's
in the
spreading.
Sky that was weird was Dean.
My next?
Only thing weird.
Oh, yeah. You definitely are.
My point behind the whole Olympics thing is I feel like it's just not a big deal anymore. Like,
I don't think it's as big as it used to be.
It's not as big as it used to be. I think the audience is just a dying thing. And in the end of it, I think people at this point really don't care.
Well, and there's a few reasons for it. Back in the day, like before you were even a dream in your mom and dad's eyes, you only had four channels to watch on TV. Now you've got so many other options. People are much busier.
Really aging yourself here, Dean.
It is what it is. People are busier doing other things. And it's just, I think there's just more options on of things to watch.
So here's a question to go on top of it. A lot of people don't have cable TV, so are they streaming live on any of the streaming softwares that you apps that you don't have to pay for? Because we're at the point to where we've cut off streaming services.
But you don't even have to do that.
No.
Because if you think of all your friends who are watching and just taking a Snapchat of it and sending it out or putting it on TikTok, you can just watch. I mean, I'll never go to a concert again. All I got to do is watch everybody else on Snapchat, and I can see the whole thing from my living room.
Man.
It's fine.
Yeah, let's upload an hour of Snapchats and put them on our story. It's like a firework display. We get it. Fireworks are going off. Send a picture and end it.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Okay. But I do care, as I said, about watching Ellie St. Pierre run, and she will be in the 5,000-meter run on August 2nd, and that'll be at 11:10 Central. And if she qualifies for the finals, she'll run on August 5th, which is next Monday, at 2:10 Central. So that'll be right after our show. So if you want to watch a farmer run, Ellie's one of them. And
she
then
run fast.
One of the guys on the – apparently quite fast.
Quite quick.
One of the guys on the Olympic swim team – he started, because he uses so much protein to stay in shape, he started raising his own cattle.
Really?
Uh-huh.
That's one way to
Very
get
cool.
around market price.
Right?
Yeah, just have your own.
Does he baseball bat them too?
I don't think so. He's looking for a more humane way. Good we brought that
now
up.
Now you find...
Thanks.
Thanks. Yeah. Anything, Dean?
Speechless.
How long does it take for the steaks to grow back?
Yeah, it's committed. The cow is as committed as the pig was to the bacon.
Well, as long as the cow signed up for it.
Hey, if you're speaking of Olympic events, I was told that at county fairs not that long ago, there was a greased pig contest. This was in Barnes County. If you caught the pig, you got to take the pig home. So talk about bringing home the bacon. You caught the greased pig and brought it back with you.
Where was this at?
Barnes County, North Dakota. I'll sign you up, Dean, if they can bring that back.
My ex-wife got in the state. I thought there was a restraining order against her up here. Oh,
goodness.
Man.
Maybe we should just do
bottom
this
of the
one
hour.
Can we hit a break?
We are. The news. Here, at 1:30 in the afternoon, we should take the news now. We'll come back.
Go to the news.
Please. Please stay with us.
And welcome back to the program. 1:33 on this Monday. It is a free-for-all if you haven't been able to guess. But we got some structure to the show. We're going to jump right back onto the trail. We're going to hit on this farm bill conversation here, Bridget. Tell me a little bit more about the consumer opinion of the farm bill.
All right. So when you guys hear the farm bill, what do you know about it?
I don't know anything about the farm bill, in all honesty, besides there is a bill in Congress revolving around agriculture.
Okay.
And I feel like that is the vast majority of people, and probably the same amount of people don't even know there is a bill about agriculture.
Well, my question is, what is going to be done? I mean, are we going to go the way of Canada? Are any of the issues in the farm bill mimicking anything that Canada is doing to their ag community?
Yep, tax the cow farts.
So two things. Thus far, we have nothing that looks at that carbon tax the way you see it in Canada, or also Denmark just enacted one as well. Think about, though, in specific to Denmark, how small that herd is in relation to what we have here in the U.S., right? So they have a lot fewer head of cattle. That's a whole different discussion. Here in the U.S., we don't have anything like that in the farm bill that has been proposed legislation. What we are seeing, though, from the consumers was a recent poll done by Purdue, which I don't always give Purdue a lot of credit, but this time I think they're probably spot on. The Center for Food Demand Analysis and Sustainability. Well, who knew that existed? But it does. Their poll said a third of Americans have never heard of the Farm Bill. They have no idea what's in it.
Wow.
So you guys were spot on, right? You answered that question, which precludes the fact that we have 50% of our federal legislators who also have no idea what's in the farm bill, have never voted on one, and are not from an ag state or district. So the data shows that when consumers go shopping, we all worry about taste, affordability, and nutrition. Yes, it's great to say that climate and the environment are important at a policy level, but frankly, when you're picking out your spaghetti noodles or your chicken off the shelf, you're not always looking for that thing. The majority of consumers simply are not. Food insecurity rose slightly in June to 13%. That continues to be on the rise. And I think especially with that new term that we all recently learned about an ALICE, we're seeing that that's not going to go down. And for those who don't remember, an ALICE is an asset limited, income capped, employed individual that makes up 40% of the U.S. workforce. So they're looking for very different things than what policy says.
It's been a lot of the focal point on that from producers.
Say that again. What's the?
Well, it's
how
been
much
one of the focal of points the from producers in terms of what they want or don't want on this farm bill, and in terms of getting it done now or next year.
Want it done now because we're sitting in a situation right now where we really don't have a farm bill. We want to make sure that crop insurance is addressed because there needed to be some changes. What the insured levels were for, we're not matching what current commodity prices were at, et cetera. Also, one thing that may change for us because we don't have the farm bill passed is this whole Chevron deference, this rollback on government overreach may in fact lead us to some changes down the road that we weren't expecting. So for instance, every time you heard about the EPA wanting to enforce waters of the U.S. where they defined what was a wetland, what's not a wetland. So in certain regions of the U.S., like where we are, the Prairie Pothole region, if you had a wet area in a field that would be wet in the spring like we were this year and then dry out, you weren't allowed to farm that because it was considered a prairie pothole or a wetland, even though it was viable farmland. And it had always been farmed for the last few years. This Chevron deference could turn back a lot of that overreach in policy and make it a little bit simpler and more common sense to do some of our farming practices that exist.
All right. Well, so if that you might got not be a, bad. A question or topic about the Farm Bill or really anything, weather or ag, give us a call on the Red Wing Shoe Shoe line, 701-293-9000. You can also call in if you want to give us a guess for Guess the Yield. On our 20 acres of corn we're growing, if you can guess closest to what our average yield per acre will be, you'll win yourself a rain gauge and or maybe a grain gauge as well if you're in a agriculture or a farmer. We'll head over to the phone line right now. I got Jim John Snowblower Guy. What's going on today?
Jim John.
Jim John. John Jim. Jim Jim.
Jim John. John John. I prefer Ricky Bobby.
All right, Ricky Bobby. Time to shake and bake. What's going on?
Exactly. So, you know, Justin, I was trying to figure this out, and I was out polling this weekend on your behalf. You know, I noticed right away that Dean said, you know, there might be some, you know, abrupt weather after midnight tonight, and Justin will be in to take care of it.
Indeed. Indeed, I will.
I've been trying to figure this out because, you know, Dean gets like, what is it, like 270 days of freaking vacation a year now?
Yeah, pretty close.
Well, that's called negotiating the contract, John.
Well, so
he doesn't know he's part-time.
I did some polling, and I went to the Big Cheese in the big leather chair in the big office upstairs, and I got you some more perks for your new office, Justin.
Really? What do we got?
I just want to make sure before I install the soda fountain and the ice cream dispenser.
Do I got to hold my hand over the red button again, John?
No. Okay. No. I just wanted to make sure that in your notes, when I sent you the email this morning, that you only requested keys for me, Bridget, and yourself.
Oh, we're getting a lock on the door now.
It's actually on the machinery.
Really?
It's actually on the machinery. I mean, I figured Dean's smart enough to pick a lock. I understand that. You know, he's kind of a
genius. That takes skill.
Come on. Nope.
Come on.
Just saying. But I just wanted to verify that that's all you wanted was three keys.
Three keys be enough. I like the digital ones versus the copy ones, though, or physical copied
keys. Okay, I'm on that. And then I need your list for ice cream flavors from the Pride Dairy that you want. And if you also have a sub list, I was going to get you some of those Dots chocolate-covered espresso beans.
Ooh. Okay, I'm all for that. And in terms of ice cream, the legendary vanilla and maple nut.
Maple nut and Juneberry, please.
Oh, and Juneberry.
Yeah, those are...
Okay,
Dean?
So...
Nope, those are, I was
so
going to say maple nut.
Dean, you don't count here. You don't have a key to this.
All right, that's cool.
Our matey.
Sorry,
we were on this show like a pirate ship, Dean. Now walk the plank.
I see that.
Yeah.
Are there
wow.
You know what a pirate's favorite letter is?
R.
It was the C.
Oh.
Did you want a mahogany plank for Dean?
Mahogany, everything. Everyday mahogany. Hey, John, have you put a guess into our contest for our guess your yield on the 20 acres of corn we're doing?
I'm going with 197.
197?
I can hear it growing with this humidity this last week or so.
No kidding. It really has taken off.
Well, hey, John, appreciate the phone call. Thanks for calling and the ice cream.
Later.
Bye.
What did he say, 190?
He said 197.
What'd you go?
Wow, 225, and I don't think my 225 is too far outside the crazy look you guys gave me when we first got into it. Bridget, would you concur or disagree?
I think that right now, considering the changes that we've had where things have dried out slightly, we probably have a pretty good potential to move. I would probably move my average yield up at this point. It's coming along nicely.
And we just got good drink of water a few days ago to replenish our field sub-moisture.
I also think that if you look across the region right now is what we're seeing. The wheat's close to harvest. Okay, so the wheat mostly doesn't care if we're going to get rainfall at this point. Folks are going to want to get through combining without a lot of moisture. Soybeans are going to want... You bet. And especially every so often, they're going to want a drink of water all the way through Labor Day to finish those off, especially those late planted beans, which a heads up right there. I had some phone calls this morning on late planted soybeans wanting to see if they could still be spraying, etc. We were talking about the use of glufosinate, which is sold under the brand name Liberty, when you're doing that, do remember, especially because of the thickness of the canopy, you need plenty of water, and the humidity that you guys are dialing up right now is actually really helpful. Glufosinate needs humidity, heat, and sunlight. And if you have to have a ranking of importance, the humidity is going to be the most important for the glufosinate to work best. So this is a good time to finish that up if you can. Make sure your weeds are the right size. If you're seeing them starting to emerge in the canopy, get them while they're small. Water hemp continues to come throughout the season.
So why would it matter what the humidity is? Why does glufosinate care about the humidity if it's just something you're spraying onto the plant?
Okay. Plants are living things. The way they respirate, the way you and I breathe, a plant literally opens up stomas on its leaves, and that's when it has uptake and takes in what's going on around it. And the humidity helps to do that. It also acts as a way to make it more mobile in the plant. And if Dr. Joe Eichley from NDSU is listening and I got that wrong, Dr. Eichley can easily correct me. But really, the humidity for that particular product, it doesn't work for everyone, but that particular product really likes the additional humidity as well as the sunlight. So the plant is actively growing, actively uptaking, and moving the product throughout the plant.
I see. In terms of other things going on in the fields right now, whether or not it's people still trying to spray some late planted crops, or maybe it was some sort of pest or disease or fungal issue, are people doing anything else right now, or is it kind of just like a still point in the growing season where we're just in between spraying and harvest or something? Because I don't, you know what I'm trying to say here?
Sure. I know what you're trying to say. We've had plenty of fungicide that's needed to happen because of the high humidity. So there have been fields that have needed to have fungicide. Sugar beet growers have a regular rotation of making sure that any pests like a disease or a bug are being sprayed out. They want to keep that crop healthy all the way through harvest. Pre-pile for the sugar beets has already been determined to start the week of about August 19th. If I remember correctly, without looking at my emails. And what pre-pile means is they're going to open up the fields, judge the quality of the sugar beets, and start to get the plants operational. There are 5 American Crystal plants and 1 Mindap Farmers Co-op plant in the valley. They need to get things fired up for fall harvest and to process the campaign throughout the winter months. So we're moving forward with sugar beets. We don't have tar spot in corn, and our corn's actually pretty big that if we ever had to spray something, we're going to have to go by drone or by plane. Speaking of drones, we've had a lot of use of drones this year in a variety of places where it was too wet to get in the fields by ground, and maybe it was a small field and we couldn't do it with a ag tractor or an airplane, a crop duster. And so we're seeing more of that being done with drones this year. They had a real uptick in their acres. Overall, our crop looks good. We're also seeing the fact that we have dry edible beans have needed a bunch of fungicide on because of the humidity too. And when you think of dry edible beans, that's what you're using in your chili beans, your refried beans, all of those types of things that we raise in this region that go into your food supply.
Awesome. Now I got 2 things I want to add on to this. You had said corn's coming along, and you know, I don't have a whole lot of years of harvesting sweet corn under my belt, mainly because the last couple times I've tried to do sweet corn, it just really didn't work out very well. This year's crop, however, the plant is a little shorter, but you know, it's mm-hmm. coming in. The cobs are looking great. How do I know when that corn is ready to be harvested in terms of sweet corn in my garden? How do I know that it's ready to go? If you have an answer, 701-293-9000. But Bridget, to follow up, in terms of the sugar beets, what is the optimal conditions right now to really get those sugar beets going and to really focus on sugar content within the beet? Is it dry and heat stress, or what would that look like to kind of focus on sugar production?
You know, we'd like to see stress in wheat to push our proteins on years when we need a higher protein. I don't think sugar beets want to be overly stressed because then they don't produce what you're looking for sugar. I'm pretty sure that one of our regular listeners, his name's Chad, he's out there, and Chad can probably tell me where this, what he wants to see right now as a farm manager. If he wants to see us get a little bit of rainfall and some cooler nighttime temperatures, or if he wants to see that sugar beet crop pushed just a little bit to increase sugar. So Chad might be just be listening. I'm going to ask him to just send me a quick message so I get the right answer instead of just making a guess on my behalf.
Sounds good. And then do you have an answer to my corn thing?
your sweet corn?
Do I just rip the top open and see if it's good to go, or if it's not, is that going to damage it?
Follow the raccoons. As soon as they start heading for your sweet corn, it's ready. I mean, they know, right? The raccoons will beat you there. But a lot of times, you know, the best thing to do is just to peel back that husk a little bit and see what it looks like.
All righty. Well, stay tuned. We got a couple more ag topics to get to, another check on the forecast. And again, if you want to call in with the guess the yield of our corn, feel free to do so. The person who guesses the closest is going to win themselves the rain gauge. Number to do so, 701-293-9000. That's the Red Wing Shoe phone line. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the program. Thanks for rejoining us. We'll have a rundown on that forecast coming up here in just a moment. Again, if you want to sneak in here for our guess the yield, 701-293-9000. We'll take your guesses on what our average yield will be on our Here We Grow 20 acres of soybeans. No, corn. We did soybeans last year. If you want to follow along on that journey, however, you can follow the whole documented process from soybeans as well as corn from last year to this year on our YouTube or Facebook channel. Just search Weather and Ag in Focus and then the project titled Here We Grow. I think we had, what, like 26 episodes last year, and I think we're on episode 12 or 13 this year, Bridget?
I think that's maybe where we're at, and I know we're working on more. They'll be coming right along. Don't forget that our beneficiary this year is Farm Rescue. Saw the guys at Farm Rescue last week down in Baltic, South Dakota. What does Farm Rescue do? Well, they are the folks that if you are in need due to illness or injury on the farm for seeding, hang, or planting. They've also helped out with things like Operation Haylift, bringing hay to areas that were drought or wildfire stricken. They are there to assist on the farm. They're now operating in 9 different states around the upper Midwest, and they will receive the profits from our Here We Grow project later this summer.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that. Hoping the rest of the year is good and we don't get any hail damage or wind damage from any storms that may or may not affect us through the rest of the year. And I think that leads to the ultimate question, that there's a chance for storms as we head through the next couple of days. Dean?
And hopefully not terrible storms, do we think?
I don't know. I'm waiting for the weather guy to come back here.
Sorry, had to get my snack for the day.
Yeah, that's all right. At least you got a ripe cherry.
Yep. So we're looking at
nothing.
Sunny skies, hazy sunshine out there. And it's going to be a quiet afternoon, quiet evening. If you have any outdoor plans, good to go. Upper 80s today with light winds. And tonight, though, we'll see storms developing out to our west, moving towards the valley around midnight or after. And some of those could be on the strong side with lows into the upper 60s. And tomorrow, humidity ticks up, temperature ticks up, winds tick up with highs right around 90 degrees and those humidity levels up there considerably from today. And then more storms develop, it looks like, tomorrow night, riding in from the west. Some could be on the stronger side and more clouds on Wednesday, on and off storms possible, with highs only in the mid-80s, and then more sunshine Thursday and Friday. We warm back up into the upper 80s to right around 90 degrees. Heading out to Wee Fest this weekend. Looks hot. Your typical early August weather.
I see. So, Dean, this leads to the ultimate question. What about next week?
Next week. So, looking at a couple of our long-range models, we have a nice Canadian air mass that's going to settle over the northern plains next week. So if you don't like the heat and humidity, wait till next week. We'll cool things down. Probably be dry as well, but much cooler. 70s for highs, it looks like.
And when was that?
That was next week.
There it is.
That was next week.
Appreciate the relief from the heat, us folks who don't like, you know, the 90s and humid.
I'll have to go back and look at the LRC if that had a cool snap. Because I know the cool snap we had, was it a couple weeks ago? I think we had a brief cool snap. And that was related to the January, one of our January cold snaps. So I'm sure this cool snap next week, or cooler snap, is related to one of those winter cold outbreaks. We'll have to go back and double check that.
Indeed. Interesting. Something we'll talk about tomorrow then.
What's that?
Said something we can talk about tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Then.
Yeah. We'll go and research that. What did you have on your on the calendar? Oh, it's in the office. We'll have to go back and look.
In terms of what? Of it being hot or cold?
Yeah. I know you've got precip on there, but
I didn't really do much
on temperature
cool downs, temperature wise on that calendar. It was more just precip timing.
Maybe we'll add that on.
We can add anything you'd like to, Dean.
All right.
Anyway, switching from weather back over to agriculture, let's talk about some of the North Dakota future ag trends. There was a report that just came out, Bridget. If you want to let us know what some of these trends are going to be.
Well, so as you look ahead, there is a report that comes from American Farmland Trust, and you can run this report yourself on their website. It's called The Future Scenarios for 2040. What it says is that from now to the year 2040, we're going to have 198,000 acres of farmland be converted into urban, high urban intensity, or at least moderate urban intensity. So that means as we see things like the city of Fargo expand, that's going to take away some of our very most prime farmland. The Red River Valley in North Dakota has probably some of, not probably, it has the richest farmland in the world, being on the bottom of a glacial lake. Now, additionally, we would not just see Fargo expanding, but some of our cities close by to those urban centers. So you're seeing growth in places like Thompson, North Dakota, Hillsboro, Kindred, all in the Red River Valley,
and
but
Grand
all going
Forks
to take away
really
from farmland.
Blowing up to the south, they're ripping up, well, they're buying up a bunch of farmland down there, and they're just throwing up whole neighborhoods and every other year.
Absolutely. And so when you're doing that, you're losing some of that land, which the equivalency of losing just about 200,000 acres of land means you're going to lose 100 farms, $36 million in farm output, and about 30 jobs based on county averages. The counties that are going to see the most growth, Cass, so you see the city of Fargo, Burley, which has Bismarck, and Williams, which actually holds Williston. So quite a few areas that are going to see some growth and spread out throughout the state.
So what are, if we're going to be losing all that, approximately 198,000 acres of farmland, what do producers got to do to make up for that then? If we're taking out nearly 200,000 acres of production, that needs to be made up somewhere, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We would need to increase our yields on other acres that are still outstanding. And then also, we hope to see higher commodity prices because it's hard to continue to raise high input crops if you don't have the prices to pay for them. Now, last week when we were in South Dakota, we talked with producers who are really pushing the envelope. They're easily trying to get up over 600 bushel corn. Now, if you think about it, that's three times what we're raising for a yield on our potential for 20 acres. But if you can continue to increase that yield with your inputs, even though you have less land mass to farm, you may see the additional growth just on a per acre basis. But that asks for perfect weather and all the perfect inputs to go along with it.
Hmm. Very interesting. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for our show today, guys.
It was an interesting show today.
It was a something today. Appreciate all of our listeners bearing with us in a time of need. Prayers and thoughts were welcomed, but we got a lot of fun things on the show coming up throughout the week. Bridget, we got a couple of fun guests. Greg Steeman from Starry and Banks coming in tomorrow, and then I think we have two guests on Wednesday, don't we?
Actually, we're just going to have one. That will be Greg Thompson. He's with the, Greg Amundsen. He's with the Root Connections at Gilby, North Dakota. We're going to be at his event August 8th. Daryl Richeson, and then also Randy Riedel with Dairyland Seeds. So it'll be a busy week of guests.
Right on. Well, that'll do it for us. Jay Thomas Show's coming up next.